This is Kate Ratcliffe. I'm from Marlboro, Vermont, and I was born in 1958. Today is June 15th, 2015. We're at the Solaris Building in Hudson, New York, and I'm interviewing Rick Warren as part of the Oral History Summer School Archive. Rick, would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, I'm Rick Warren, also in the Solaris Building in Hudson, New York, on June 15th. And I was born in 1955 in Kingston, New York.
Thank you very much. So, to get started, I'm wondering, Rick, if you'd be willing to talk a bit about where you come from.
Yes, I would. And then I'm supposed to talk about that, right? Okay, so I was born in Kingston, in Kingston Hospital, 1955, as I said, and I grew up in Hurley, about 3 miles outside of Kingston, kind of an idyllic, I guess, childhood in a little tiny town with stone houses from the 1600s and 1700s. Was burned by the Indians at one point. Not me, the town. let's see, I was interested and have been interested in music from an early age. I remember at my grandmother's house playing on the piano. And then in elementary school, we had these little recorder things. And I took up the trumpet for a few years. And then the Beatles came to America, and I, of course, had to switch to guitar like everybody else did. So, and I've been playing guitar pretty much ever since, with a few breaks here and there. Graduated from high school, got married a couple of years after that. Went into computer programming, worked for a software company that did software for banks, and then started working up here for the Hudson City Savings Institution in about 1988, and I was with them until they were acquired by a larger bank. Then I took a few years off from the information technology field and worked with my wife in a little restaurant that she had for a while. And then eventually I went back to work about 6 years ago, again in computers. And I've also become lately very involved in my music, jazz, rock, improvisational type music, and also playing on the streets in Hudson, where I got caught by Kate. So I think that's it in a nutshell.
So what drew you to Hudson in particular? I mean, Kingston's rather close, but I think.
Yeah. It was the job. I worked for the bank for about 6 years, commuting back and forth from Kingston. And then we were going to be going through a big project. I was single at that time, so I decided to move up here closer, and sort of glad that I did, because I wound up putting in some very long days. But,
how would you say Hudson compares to Kingston?
It's quite a bit smaller. In Kingston, I kind of knew everybody, and in Hudson, I've kind of come to know a lot of people, especially through the restaurant. We got a lot of people coming in there. It's a place to be.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the restaurant?
It's a little, you know, basically one person operation now. And she just serves breakfast at this point, but she does all her own cooking. And it's, you know, it's real food, eggs and bacon and so forth.
Where is it?
It's on Columbia Street, up by the Hess station.
What's it called?
It's called Debbie's Little Restaurant. I went there for breakfast and I wound up staying for a number of years.
So it sounds like music has been kind of a continuing thread in your life.
Yeah. It did get pushed aside for a career for too long. But now I'm really kind of delving back into it.
And what were some of your early experiences with music? Or when did you know that, you know, music was such a important way for you to express yourself?
Probably back in, you know, elementary school when we started with the little recorders. I think they were called flutophones at that time. And I think it was like at the end of the third grade, they seemed to think I had some talent and I was able to move to a real band instrument, the trumpet, sort of a year ahead of what would have been the normal thing. I guess in fourth grade I started that, and apparently I guess it was fifth grade was the sort of time they offered that to everybody. So that was kind of cool.
And what's the music scene in Hudson like?
In Hudson, actually, in my opinion, for all the hype that it gets lately, there doesn't seem to be that much. I know there's things that I haven't really been involved with. But as far as real venues in town, there's, I don't know, maybe six. I can kind of count them out. The Club Helsinki, Basilica occasionally has events. There's the Half Moon, Spotty Dog. One guy on Warren Street has house concerts occasionally. But as far as places for, you know, like kids starting out, maybe playing in bars and so forth, there really isn't too much of that. There's some of us that play out on the street. And even that, I don't know, I would just maybe expect to see more of that, like maybe somebody on every block. I know in some places it gets kind of overwhelming. I forget what town I had read about where they were just kind of being inundated by buskers, as we're called. So far we haven't run into any troubles. I think most musicians are pretty cooperative with each other, that, you know, they'd either join in or they'd move, you know, a block down the street or something like that.
Can you talk a little bit more about your specific experience playing in the streets in Hudson?
I haven't been doing it for very long. Really, maybe once or twice last summer and then a few times this summer. I think it's a lot of fun. And get to see a lot of people going by and, you know, maybe they'll either sing along or, you know, people stop their cars and have listened to a couple of songs or gone by and waved and clapped and so forth. And I think that's really what it's about for us. The kick that we get out of it is seeing people enjoy it. And you see these little kids often will be dancing around, and their parents will stop and listen for a while.
Do you play then as part of a group?
Yeah, I also have a band down in the Kingston, New Paltz area. Friends of mine that have gotten together that I went to high school with, one of them. He was a drummer in high school, and he's taken up the bass now. And we've been playing about 3 years or so. Kind of ran into each other with Facebook. I got on there just for the heck of it, and there were all these old hippies that I went to school with. So it's been good to reconnect with people through that.
How? What's your sense of how life has, or the culture has changed since the days when the old hippies were more prominent?
I think people are a lot more closed in now. And you see people on the streets and they have their own earbuds in. Make sure you can't see that. And you know, a lot of them I notice as I walk up and down the street are trying really hard not to look at another person that's coming towards them. And that's even people that, you know, I often walk up and down the street probably daily, and there's people that you see every day and there's no hello or, you know, recognition. And then there's the others that, of course, there is some recognition and hello, and, you know, maybe a little longer conversation here and there. But yeah, I think to say that the change in society is people are more into their own thing, and, you know, I guess kind of the me generation, I guess they're calling it.
Can you talk a little bit more about your experiences during the 60s, and when I think of the 60s as kind of running into the first part of the 70s.
Right, yeah.
But during that time?
Well, that would have been junior high school and high school. It was kind of an eye-opening experience. I went from, at that time we had, you know, elementary was kindergarten through 6, and then there was junior high for 7 through 9, and high school for 10, 11, and 12 grades. So elementary school was the little school in Hurley where I, you know, really grew up. And then we went into the city of Kingston for junior high school and high school, and that's where I ran into a lot of musical friends that are still friends today from back then. And of course, it was the 60s, so there were drugs involved. I think it was a real, you know, coming of age, moving from the small town into the bigger city schools and being exposed to more people in general, and people that grew up in the city type of environment, especially. I think they had a lot different experience from what I had had.
Do you think of Hudson as being a city?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think so. I've kind of been here long enough to see some changes. It was 1988 when I started actually working here. I had been in the area in 75, 76. Taught guitar at a music store on Warren Street for a while. I think back then there was more a variety of stores on Warren Street than what there is on the surface now. And, you know, mostly hearsay from my ex-wife about, you know, you could really do basically everything on Warren Street that you needed to do. There was a shoe store, there was a supermarket, you know, there were little stores on every corner, little general stores. There's still a couple of those. But it's really becoming kind of a niche thing with the antiques and art and artsy food. So, it's fun to walk up and down and see it. It's sort of sad in a way that it's not the way it used to be, but there's always change, and some of it works out good for some people and not so good for others.
Can you explain that a little more fully?
Well, just people that, you know, may have been on Warren Street their whole lives, and all of a sudden they have to take a cab out to Walmart to do their shopping. You know, things like that, where they used to, you know, if they were out of a cup of milk or something, they could run down to the corner store and get that. Whereas now I think they probably have to plan more, and
what do you see as the major issues facing the town right now?
I think the gentrification that's continuing, I think we've seen several layers of that, where, and even back in 88 when I was here, you know, people were talking how, oh, the people that grew up here can't afford to live here, can't afford to rent an apartment on Warren Street, or, you know, across from where they were brought up, or whatever. And I think we're seeing that is kind of cycling around again to people that may have had a, you know, come up from New York City or wherever, and even some locals, I think, have opened antique stores and art galleries. And then I think they're finding that, you know, new people are buying the buildings, and all of a sudden the rent goes up, and, you know, they're out and looking for something again. It's just a cycle that continues on and on.
Do you think there's any way to address that?
Part of a bigger problem with just how our economy has supposedly grown, that, you know, we're making so much more than we did in the 60s and 70s, but we're also having to spend so much more. You know, I feel I was better off and maybe had more spending money when I was making $4 an hour in 1974, 75, than I do now, making, you know, several times that. So.
What do you think Hudson might be like 10 years from now?
I don't know. I'm not too good at the crystal ball thing.
What would you like to see?
I think it'll still be kind of cycling around. I don't know. I would kind of like to see it, you know, go back to more. I think I had read some years ago about walkable communities where, you know, which was what I picture Warren Street had been like years ago, where you could, you know, you would go to the shoe store, you could go to the furniture store, and to the grocery store right there within in walking distance, the mile that's Warren Street, things like that. Whether that would truly be a good thing, I don't know. I think it would be good for me. I really enjoy it. You know, I live in Hudson and I work two blocks away. I'm kind of spoiled as far as having to drive somewhere. Now it's kind of a big deal for me to drive 45 minutes or an hour to visit with a friend or whatever. And then there were times in my life when I had an hour and a half commute each way to go into Albany to work. And I guess people adjust in whatever ways, because I know there are a lot of people that commute to the city either by train or driving, and either a week at a time or every day. And somehow they adjust to it. At this point, I can't imagine adding that much overhead to my workday.
What was it like moving back here? You were here briefly in the mid-70s, and then when you moved back, mm-hmm. how was it reintegrating into the community?
Well, in the 70s, I was living a ways outside of town, probably about 20 minutes from Hudson, and working in Albany at that time, and living on a dairy farm, newly married, so we went into Albany, we did our work, we came home and spent our evenings, the two of us, and then on, Saturdays, I guess it was, I came into Hudson and taught guitar in the morning, early afternoon. So at that time, I probably really didn't do much other than come in and go out of Hudson. A couple of times we had shopped at like a furniture store here. But it wasn't like the day-to-day thing that I'm doing now in Hudson, and walking around and seeing the architecture and the change and the shop windows and, oh, this shop is closed and, oh, this new store over here has opened up.
So how about when you moved here in a more permanent way, what it was mm-hmm. like entering the community?
I don't know. To me, it's just not really something I thought about. I just kind of did it. Became friendly with these people that came into the restaurant. We had a lot of, and still do have a lot of regulars that are there every day, and we kind of know all the details of their lives and what they're doing, where they're going on vacation, and this relative is sick, or this one just got better, and things like that. So, some sort of socializing came out of that, where we went out to dinner with this group or that group a few times. I think most of my life, the people outside of work that I've been involved with have been musicians in one way or another.
Can you talk about a significant relationship in your life, either with a musician or...
Well, I had a really close friend in high school, and then a few years after that, He left and went out to the West Coast, and you know, we kind of lost touch there. But he was probably the one that I was closest to at any point in my life. We were friends. He was not a musician. You know, we would do a lot of things together, go out to go to concerts. There's the music theme again, I guess. And things like that. But I've recently got back together with a girl that I knew in high school, and she was, you know, part of our group back then. So it's been an interesting time. I think we've both changed a lot since we were in high school, but there's still a lot that's the same.
How has your feeling for music kind of changed or stayed the same over time? I guess in terms of the music you like or.
I think it's pretty much stayed the same as far as what I like to do and the way I like to approach the music. I'm a little more open now to playing different types of music than I might have in the past. During like high school and shortly thereafter, I really wanted to, I guess, keep my integrity by, you know, only doing certain things and not becoming a musical whore or something like that. And now looking back at it and running into old friends that, you know, have gotten through their lives, you know, to this point, basically playing music, but by, you know, doing whatever was available. If somebody needed a bass player, this guy, while he was a guitar player, he played bass, and so I think maybe his approach might have been, you know, better than mine, or, you know, I guess I tried to separate the making a living from playing music so that I had the freedom to do what I wanted to do. And then I guess I got a little too caught up in the making a living part, and the making the music part sort of fell to the wayside for a few years.
What kind of music do you enjoy listening to?
I guess what most people would call jazz, improvisational music, that kind of stuff. My band plays a lot of classic rock, Cream and Grateful Dead, which are also, there's a lot of improvisation, a lot of room for improvisation in those. Those types of music, those groups, I guess. So, in fact, I'm thinking back now to the 8th or 9th grade music class. The teacher brought in a record of Cream, I think playing Spoonful for an album side, and, you know, having us listen to that as an introduction, I guess, to improvised music. I thought that was really cool that had made it into school. So at that time, there were no jazz ensembles or rock ensembles in schools. If you were in the band, you were like the marching band or the orchestra. So there was that little spark there for the one time, but it wasn't until a while after I graduated that I think they started recognizing the guitar as an instrument and offering ways for people that were interested in that to have the formal schooling on that.
So you've shared some about your work life and your interest in music and the restaurant. Are there any other ways that you're involved in the community?
No, not really. I think about it from time to time, but I think right now my out of work time, I really want to focus on music and doing what I can through that to try and make the world a better place, I guess.
Do you have a sense of whether there's much of a music program at the high school here in Hudson?
I really don't, no. I believe there is one, so I know some schools have had to discontinue that, but no. I think maybe if I was to get involved in something, that might be a direction I would look into. But for the time being, between my day job and my music, I feel I'm pretty filled up.
So. You mentioned appreciating the architecture in Hudson. And I wonder if you might say more about that.
Oh, it's you walk up and down the street, and there's buildings from many different periods, and then seeing the way people fix up the buildings and try to bring them back maybe to their original or at least some previous period's appearance. It's interesting to me that it's not a lot of just cookie cutter houses where you see so many developments where people go home and they might go to the wrong house because they all look identical.
So. Can you talk about where you live?
Yeah, it's the Upper East Side of Hudson, I guess you would call it.
What does that mean?
It's the sort of the other end of Warren Street from where we are today at the Solaris building. I'm across from a bar, which around the first of this year changed their hours, and now they close at midnight instead of 2:30, which is nice because sometimes they would get a little bit rowdy on the outside. With no smoking indoors, people seem to spend a lot of time outside. Other than that, it's a nice neighborhood up there. There's four apartments in my building, and we all get along. If I get any complaints about the music, it's that I haven't been playing it enough. So.
How did you find that apartment?
When my ex-wife and I were separating, one of the customers had owned that building and had a photography studio on the ground floor and four apartments, and one of those was available. So, and the price was right, I guess. So it was a block away. So it was an easy move to make, and it had off-street parking, which is, I think, going to be a requirement if I ever move anywhere.
So I find myself thinking about your childhood and that idyllic community that you describe.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little more about that?
You know, some good friends, neighbors with a swimming pool, which was always good, because then it didn't become a chore to have to clean it. We just kind of grew up. Didn't really think too much about it.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have two sisters, younger. I was the pioneer forging the way.
How much younger?
Actually, quite a bit younger. I should know this, right? I'm going to say 4 and 6 years younger. Because I think there was like a very brief time that we were in, you know, the elementary school together. And then they weren't in junior high school until I was into the high school, and they weren't in the high school until I was graduated. So.
And what about your parents?
They both died fairly young, around 58, I guess. One kind of odd thing was that I never knew until after he had passed away that the man I thought was my grandfather actually wasn't. Apparently he was very jealous or very protective and didn't want anybody to know that my father's father was not him. And he had died very young, I think when my father was maybe 2 or 3 years old. So my uncle was actually my father's half-brother, and you know, I kind of remember hearing about that, sitting on the couch at my grandmother's house after my father had passed away, and my grandfather years before that. So, some sort of deep, dark secret. I've tried a couple of times going on like Ancestry.com. Haven't gotten very far back. So that was years ago. I'm sure there's probably more records now that it might be interesting to do. So here's your silence part. You're going to leave it up to me, huh? I don't know if that came as a shock to me, I guess. It kind of has me wondering about some of the people that we saw a few times as I was growing up. That maybe they were real, in quotes, relatives or something like that. We always had our summer vacation at the Jersey Shore. We'd go down there for a week. That was always looked forward to. And then Hurley was a big corn-growing town, so we would go the last week in July, and when we came back, the corn would be ready. And then, of course, now you get corn on the cob year-round, but it's not the same. We would put on the pot to boil and then go out and pick the corn and put it in. So it was always very fresh.
Do you have favorite restaurants in Hudson other than the breakfast spot?
We like the Helsinki. Love the food trucks. The There's Tortillaville went away a couple of years ago, and now there's Once Upon a Taco, which is different, but it's still very good. I know we would hear from people coming in the restaurant that, oh, I don't like it. It's not the same as it was, but it's different, but it's good. I think it took them most of last summer to really get on their feet and stabilize their recipes, suppliers, and so forth. And it's good to see so many restaurants using local farm products, vegetables, meat, and it's good that those are available to them to use. So hopefully things are coming around from the big mega farms to smaller family type operations. I think that's a move in the right direction, both for the health of people using, eating the food, and the health of the earth that they're growing the food in.
And is it your sense that's what's happening in this area?
Yeah, there does seem to be a good amount of it, you know, especially the restaurants on Warren Street. You know, of course, we have our McDonald's and Burger King and Applebee's, which have their places. But I still enjoy a good double quarter pounder with cheese, maybe too often, but.
You mentioned that you consider Hudson a city. What do you think makes it a city?
It says City of Hudson on the sign when you're coming into town. You know, I'm sure there's some legal definition. I guess that there's more blacktop than grass and trees. There's stores rather than fields of corn or hay or whatever. But you drive for 10 minutes or even 5, and you can be in that kind of environment too. So I like that about Columbia County, which I think is also true down where I'm originally from, in Kingston and Ulster County. Although Kingston is a little bit bigger to get out of to the countryside. And that's changed a lot. The big corn farm is no longer a corn farm, but it has gone to Cornell University as a farm for students to run and learn and so forth. So, you know, it's a thing that has its pluses and minuses. It's kind of sad to see that, you know, the corn going, but then there's something else going on that, you know, maybe students will go out and maybe 20 of them will start little corn farm operations or, you know, whatever.
So I'm still trying to kind of wrap my head around being a street musician, because I'm not a musician. I've never played on the street. So, like, how long do you stay out when you play? And
a couple of hours, probably. Kind of depends on the weather, and, you know, if we get tired, and if there aren't a lot of people around. You know, kind of come and go. You know, I'm not all that experienced at it. This is probably the first year I've done it more than once or twice.
What's the revenue like?
Oh, I can't disclose that. I think we made $10 in 3 hours the day you saw us. But we're all working. And my thought is it kind of gives people a way to participate. You know, you see a lot of adults will give their kid a dollar or something to throw in the pot there. I think that's fun. You know, the main thing is seeing people enjoy it is really what gives us the drive to go out and, you know, and do it again, or, you know, stay there. It may be a little warm and we're getting sweaty or whatever, but you see people going by and, you know, kids are bopping their heads or whatever.
I'm sorry, I missed the music that day.
I'm sure we'll be out again.
When you think about, you know, the next years of your life, what are your aspirations for the future?
Well, I'm getting close to the point where hopefully I can retire from having a full-time job and maybe work more towards doing something with music, maybe teaching to, you know, pass along my knowledge and so forth to younger people. I think, yeah, that's why I kind of want to concentrate on the music more so than anything at this point. I had given a few lessons to a young autistic guy last year, and that was challenging but fun. I know he enjoyed it. But then there's also football and baseball and squirrels.
Do you ever think about taking up the trumpet again?
Yes, and no, I've thought about taking up other instruments. But the trumpet would be one of the choices in there. I don't know that it would be the top one, but I think maybe I'm thinking of trying to find an instrument that not everybody else plays. So, it was just the week before I was at a workshop for improvisational music that was led by people that had the creative music studio back in the 70s. And there were 8 guitar players at that.
Where was that held?
That was up in Big Indian, which is like a half hour west of Woodstock. It was my second time going to that. And they originally started back in 71, 72. I remember the principal guy, Carl Berger, came into my music theory class in high school in 1973, which was when I met him. And I think back then I sort of thought what they were doing was maybe just a little too weird, too hippie for me. I was more into the rock and roll and blues music. But then last year, I went to the workshop, and I've since taken some private coaching sessions, we're calling them, with Carl. He plays vibraphone and piano. I think he's leaning more towards the melodica, a little keyboard that you blow into, now being several years older than even I am. Enjoying that. Somebody had written a history book about the Creative Music Studio and all the things that were going on. And I read that last year, and I'm thinking, wow, here I was, you know, 5 miles from all this going on, and, you know, did I kind of miss out on that or whatever? But, so I'm glad that they're kind of getting things going again. I'm glad to see them doing this and doing what they love, and passing their knowledge along to younger players, and you know, impressed with the people that I see coming through that. Some that I guess maybe aren't quite as young as I thought they were, but still a lot younger than me. And to see them interested in that kind of music is, I think, really good. You see so much of the commercially acceptable music that's out there, and, you know, being heavily promoted. But there's a lot of, so to speak, underground, independent things going on that you know, really don't have to look very hard to find them, but you do have to get away from the clear channel radio stations in order to hear the different stuff.
Are there things that we haven't talked about that seem like should be part of this audio record?
No, I really don't. I don't think so.
I'm wondering. Here's a question. What do you think is the key to a happy life?
Figuring out what you love and doing that, and you know, not caring what other people think of that. Which I think was advice that maybe I didn't take earlier in life, but I think I'm happy with what I had done, what I had accomplished. I think I made a difference in things and people. You know, my career at the bank was kind of the transition from typewriters to computers. And I think I was able to help a lot of people through that. So that was at the time when people would graduate from high school or maybe go on to college and go to work somewhere, and they would be there until they retired. So there were, you know, again, there was a good range of age of people there that to kind of get them over the hurdle of writing things down on a legal pad to, and typing it in a computer. And that was a challenge, and helping people through that, I think, was probably one of the most rewarding things of that career.
And what about the work you do now? I guess I didn't really ask what that's like.
Okay. Well, I work for Taconic Biosciences now, which is a company that raises rats and mice for medical research. We changed our name from Farms to Biosciences to reflect that we're doing a lot more than, you know, just breeding and raising mice and then sending them off to do whatever experiments. We also do, you know, different kinds of surgeries and preparations on them. I'm kind of peripheral to that, working on the help desk for computers and technology. So, you know, my specific role in that is to make sure that people's computers work efficiently and that they have the access that they need, and things such as that. I think as a company, you know, what we're doing is sort of a necessary evil, but I think we're going about it in the right way, and we're trying to drive things in the right direction that, you know, what happens in a mice, in a mouse, is more accurately predictive of what that drug is going to do in a person. A couple of the things that we do, sort of ongoing, I mentioned that we do surgery on mice. And I believe it's the pituitary gland that we take out of some, which is what, I guess, creates the growth hormone. And then those mice are used to test human growth hormone before it's given to humans who need that hormone. Each batch needs to be tested. So there's an ongoing need for that. We've also got something new where they'll take tumors from a specific cancer patient and implant those into mice, and then they're able to come up with the exact drug for that particular person. We've also sent some up to the space shuttle just recently, and they're doing work on the effects of weightlessness and how that, you know, people's bones and muscles atrophy after being up there for extended periods of time. So we may be able to get to Mars and still have the strength to walk.
When did you get interested in computers?
When I lost my job at the knitting mills in Kingston, and unemployment counselors thought I was a bright individual and I should go back to school. I was just a high school graduate at that point, so I went back and got a 2-year degree in computer science, and then from there went back to work and occasionally took a course or two here and there, you know, going to further my education, but never got to the bachelor's degree or anything beyond that. I think if I had the chance now and the drive, I might go and, of course, go more towards music courses, something like that.
Do you think there's a connection between the kind of math dimension of computers and music? I can hear that, but...
Definitely, yeah. Of course, there's a very strong connection between math and music. I think maybe computers, maybe not so much at this point. Yeah, programming has changed so much over the years from when I first started it that now it's a lot of point and click, and you're taking these, you know, pre-built pieces to assemble your program to do whatever you want it to do. Whereas when I was programming, we were looking uphill in a blizzard every day to accomplish our tasks.
Is there anybody else you think it would be good to speak with as part of this archive?
Who do I want to throw under that bus? Well, you might go into Debbie's little restaurant up there some morning and talk to people there. Maybe have a cup of coffee and an egg sandwich or something. There's a number of people in there that could give you different views and a really specific to Hudson type history stuff. I could see if I can get you some other names and send you an email or a text.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. It's been great speaking with you today.